If you would please, open your Bibles tonight to Psalm 106. It's no news to you, I'm sure, to know that the potential that resides in one person can be absolutely astounding. So tonight I want to center my thoughts around one solitary intercessor. Out of Psalm 106, if you would look at verse number 23. In its context, Israel had just made a colossal gaffe and invoked the wrath of God upon them. And so verse 23, therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. One man stood in the breach. And the purpose that's stated here is to, first of all, see that to turn away God's wrath. One person versus the Almighty God. God's inclination was to destroy the people for their idolatry. And no doubt he would have. But consider just what's happened here. Moses, his chosen, as you know, going back to the passage in the burning bush passage in Exodus 3, Moses was handpicked by God to lead the people out, that he did, very astounding fashion. And now that they're out of Egypt, and not too long thereafter, the entire multitude fell a-lusting, as the scriptures teach us. That would invite God's wrath, and it did. And so this communication goes on. God says to Moses, informs Moses, and if you take the profile of the whole selection of related passages, there's some communication that goes on here, as we'll see in a moment. But Moses stood in the breach, stood where no man else would, stood where no man else could, to turn away God's wrath, to turn it back, to cause him to withdraw it. So one man is able to appeal to God in such a way as to redirect, so to speak, redirect God's actions. I want you to consider that for you yourself tonight. There's also there's a highlight here, or a low light, another occasion in verse 30. Another man's name is mentioned, but a different incident. Phinehas by name. He did something very similar, but the person I'm concentrating on tonight here is Moses, one very solitary intercessor. I want you then to see something else that we find here. In verse number 23, it is said about Moses turning away the wrath of God from the people. It is also, we can look at, I think, probably a place like Exodus 32 for a minute. Look at that 11th verse, which seems to me that Moses troubled God. Exodus 32, I'm believing that's the place I want to see. At the 11th verse. The 11th verse says, Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? You look at that particular place there, and the word besought is a word that means to rub or wear out from constant pressure, indicating that this bit of communication that was going on between God and Moses, Moses kept peppering, can I say it that way, kept peppering God with this request. He kept appealing to him not to do what he was planning to do. Matter of fact, I get that that notion out of the first statement in verse number 10. Look what he tells Moses. Same chapter, Exodus 32:10. Now therefore, what does he say? Let me alone. Moses kept needling, troubling God with his appeal. And constantly pressuring him. Let me alone, God says. And then I want you to think of something else about this one solitary intercessor. In Exodus 32, verse 32, consider Moses' trade, what he says. In the course of all this communication, he says, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, he says, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now, you know, that sounds to me like something that the apostle Paul said over in the book of Romans. Just keep your place in Exodus and look at Romans 9. The same kind of sentiment come from the apostle Paul's mouth. We're in Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So consider, again, as we point out all this about Moses, the extent of his intercession, the extent to which he was willing to go so as to stand in the breach before God and prevent God from bringing his wrath upon the entire nation. Never discount the potential of one solitary intercessor. As an individual, you may think that your prayer efforts are very paltry, impotent, and you are, as an individual, unlikely to turn the affairs of world events, or on a lesser scale, even turn the tide within your church family. And yet, don't discount what one person can do before Almighty God. One person, apparently here, got the Lord's attention. I want you to think of, see something else about Moses. I know we live in a hurry-up age. Everybody wants something done yesterday. Everybody can be described as A personalities, you know. The proverbial fella at the elevator who's smashing his finger and breaking the elevator button because it won't come fast enough, and he's thinking foolishly about taking the steps to the next level because the elevator's not coming. This is a hurry-up age. And when it comes to intercessory work, I want to say to you that this is not something that usually can be done quickly. I want you to see in Deuteronomy chapter 9 for just a moment. Deuteronomy 9. Moses had troubled God, so to speak. Moses was willing to make a trade, if God would be pleased with that. Now consider his time. In Deuteronomy 9, look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first. He's referring to the occasion where he went to obtain the law in the mountaintop for a specified period of time. He says, I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which you made, burned it with fire, stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust, and I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. If you follow that on down, Look at the time period in verse 25. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first. Now, not only is that significant just because of a man's willingness to spend that length of time interceding for people, but it also creates or paints a picture of a type of Christ himself. When you think about Matthew chapter 4, Christ likewise, 40 days, 40 nights, 40 days, 40 nights was tempted. Now, what was the purpose of that temptation? What was the purpose of that temptation? Was it to demonstrate to anybody in particular that he was able not to sin? Or was it a demonstration that to anybody who might be interested then or now that he was not able to sin? The divine one couldn't sin. But inasmuch as the devil is not omniscient, he didn't know that. Figured he could be had like most human beings could. Not so. But here you have the intimation of a type. And all that I say about Moses is tremendous. What he was willing to do to stand in the gap between God and his wrath and the people of Israel. But he's a type of a greater intercessor, a type of a greater example of one solitary intercessor able to affect the lives of so many as Christ. He is said to be, Christ that is, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Then you think about what we read in the New Testament. John chapter 1 verse 29 says of Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. One Lamb, one intercessor, able to do so much for so many. One Lamb for the whole world. Moses was indeed a fabulous illustration of a human intercessor, able to accomplish so much for so many people, but never is there to be even the remotest comparison between Moses and Christ except in type. You go to the last book in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Do not, I say, discount the potential of one solitary intercessor. In Revelation 5, and the sixth verse, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts," and in the midst of the next segment or group of people is who?
The elders.
Midst of the elders. Now, typically that is figurative language expression for what dispensational Bible teachers believe to be representative of the church. "Stood in the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So you have a lamb in the midst of the elders. And for verse 9, "They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." One lamb able to affect the outcome for a numberless multitude of human beings on planet Earth. Numberless, I say, unless you want to invoke verse 11. "I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them," and that harkens back to the elders, "the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And, so as to not be able to cap it, thousands of thousands." Figurative language for a numberless multitude. One lamb, one man, the God-man, one intercessor, able to affect the outcome of a numberless group of people. And so I say for you tonight, as you take up your prayer mantle at home, in the privacy of your home, or here when we come together as a church family, do not ever underestimate what you may accomplish as one solitary intercessor to affect the outcome of so many other people's lives. Now, again, this is a hurry-up age, and we want to see everything happen now. But the truth of the matter is, you may intercede for people your entire life, never see the outcome on earth, and you need to reckon with that. You need to reckon with that, which is to say, never stop interceding. Never stop interceding. Let God be God and let the outcome in His hands. So one person can accomplish a lot. One person, matter of fact, not only can accomplish a lot, but, you know, when you try to put a numerical valuation on the people of Israel at the time of Moses, conservative estimates of the count, the head count in Moses' day, the conservative estimate was 3 million people. That's conservative. 3 million people. What do you suppose you can do tonight as you go to prayer? We have our prayer list. The people that we customarily think of when we come to prayer, and comparatively, it is rather limited. Rather limited. Just challenge you to encourage you to branch out, broaden your horizons, and see how all encompassing you can come to when it involves your intercessory ministry. Count the number of faces that you could pray for that you typically don't pray for. And probably one of the reasons you don't spend time praying for them routinely is because of the perception of time. I don't recall other than Christ and Moses, anyone else spending 40 days and 40 nights in intercession, with the one possible exception of Noah. One possible exception, Noah. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, as we look at this portion of Scripture and apply it to the midweek service, apply it to our personal, private prayer lives, we pray, dear God, that you might remind us at all times what really may be accomplished at the throne of grace. Not because of any special magic or qualities or virtues in us, but because of your unlimited power. And you have put out in the Scriptures very express promises to us that if we ask anything in your name, you'll give it to us. If we ask according to your will, it's as good as done. Lord, help us to not only live by faith and walk in faith, but pray in faith as well. For Jesus' sake, amen.